Hi, I'm Terry Lyons, guest host for this episode. Before we begin, we wanted to take a moment to acknowledge something deeply personal and important to the Colorado Springs cycling community. This episode was recorded before the passing of our dear friend Tori's son, Daniel, who had been courageously battling brain cancer for 6.5 years. Sadly, he lost that battle shortly after we recorded this conversation. He was just 4 days short of his 18th birthday. Our hearts are with Tori and her family during this incredibly difficult time. We are sharing this episode with her blessing, and we do so in honor of Daniel's strength, spirit, and the love that surrounds him. To quote Tori, "I believe Daniel's was not a life cut short, but a life lived to its fullest and fulfilled." Thank you for watching or listening, and for keeping Tori and her family in your thoughts. Coming up next on the Pedal the Springs podcast, we're talking with some representatives from COS Racing, Southern Colorado's premier cycling team.
This is Peak Community, Studio 809 Podcast.
Welcome and roll on into the Pedal the Springs podcast, where we banter about all things biking in the Colorado Springs and Pikes Peak region. My name is Terry Lyons, and I'm your guest host today, sitting in for Tori Giffen. Tori is the self-appointed ambassador for cycling in the Springs and the owner of the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort. And what Tori doesn't know about biking in this area, her friends do. Today, we're here to learn about another of the cycling clubs in Colorado Springs, COS Racing. Let's start with some introductions. Sitting next to me is Terry Lott.
Yep, my name's Terry Lott. I am the sponsorship coordinator for COS Racing. I've been a part of this team for a few years since I moved back to Colorado Springs and wanted to be more involved and have some fun things to share about the 2025 sponsors that have jumped on board and are returning cash sponsors. A little bit about me. I've been kind of bike racing most of my life, since maybe 1982 or 1983, and I was born in 1970, so easy math there. It's kind of a big thing for me. Yes. I raced internationally for the United States off and on for about 12 years, mainly in the Caribbean, as captain of the United States with West Indies versus the World Cycling Series. It was a road and track festival held in Trinidad and Tobago mainly, but also some of the other Caribbean islands. I'm a 39-time state cycling champion, and I still want to race not only for myself and my team, but to help others, like the person sitting next to me.
So my good friend, Nao Nozawa, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, hi guys, I'm Nao, and I am fairly new to racing. I've only been racing for a year and a half or so. I've only been riding bikes for 5 years, maybe. I think that's when I met you. I'm also the president of Soco Velo right now, so that's another one of our local cycling clubs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do some gravel racing, but most of my racing is at the track.
How long have you been on the track?
As long as I've been racing, so a year and a half.
And what successes have you had so far?
Some success locally, and also I am a state champion from last year.
Two times.
I'm sitting with greatness. I'm so humbled. Let me start with thank you for the intros and that full disclosure. We are all good friends and known each other for several years now. They both know that I'm not a racer, but to the audience, I'm not a racer. So you're going to go on this journey with me to learn more about racing and COS racing. So let's start with some questions. What can you guys tell me about the mission of COS Racing?
Basically, being Southern Colorado's premier cycling team, we want to win every race. Okay. That's the mission. Now, winning races isn't the only goal or ambition for the team. We want community involvement. We want to create a fan base. We want to help engage with sponsors. We want to attract new sponsors. We want to cultivate new talent and have enough sponsorship money to help them to travel to national and international World Cup events.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that you guys were doing both. Yeah, so let's drill into the international piece and kind of the national piece. Like, you're a local race team, but does that mean it's only Colorado? Where else in Colorado? Where else in the U.S.? Where else in the world?
We've had riders with national success. Miles Juneau was a cross-country national champion in 2022. Daniel Matheny was the U.S. cross-country mountain bike champion in 2018. He's a renowned local coach. He's the course designer for the Pikes Peak Apex and other large events here. We also had a rider, Ashley Fry, come from beginner to race professionally in Europe on a women's professional team all within a year. She raced for a couple years over there and retired, but we actually saw on her social media last week that she came out of retirement with a small amount of training and got seventh place in the U.S. Professional Women's Road Race Championships. So
that's amazing.
Colorado Springs has its ability to attract people with talent in any athletic discipline, being Olympic City, USA.
Sure.
And that's one of our goals, is to be an umbrella. So to have elite level racers, but also beginners, and have something in place to where people can have that culture of teamwork and success and grow.
Awesome. Talk to me about what kind of races do the members participate in?
If it's on a bike, we'll do it.
Okay.
We have a bunch of gravel racers, road, a lot of mountain bike. We have a good group for the track now.
And then when you say track, you mean velodrome, yes?
Yep, at the velodrome. Okay. Yep. We have a handful of women this year, which is very exciting.
Yes.
And Terry's our mentor.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So maybe, Terry, can you speak to what these races look like from the perspective of distances and maybe like styles of racing?
For the velodrome?
Yes.
Okay. Well, similar to track and field in the Olympic Games, everybody knows the 100-meter dash, right? Everybody knows the hurdles race, but you probably don't show up at a local track meet unless you're involved in the sport to support it.
Yep.
Difference between track cycling and track and field is that track and field does stick with the Olympic disciplines for all of its competitions. Track cycling actually tries to engage the public, so there's much more entertaining mass start races. The local series here is called an Omnium, so basically kind of like the decathlon. So it's usually three or four events. Mm-hmm. The riders with the best placings in their category win the podium placings for the night. So it's the best all-around type of rider that usually engages in those. One of the more exciting races to watch is called the Elimination Race, or in Europe they call it the Devil Take the Hindmost. So basically, if you have 20 riders, it's going to be a 19-lap race. So they roll around, get a rolling start up to about 30, 35 miles an hour, and the next lap, the last rider across the line has to leave the race.
Wow.
The next lap, the last rider. So it goes lap after lap of attrition at the back of the field. Well, it's exciting to watch a sprint every lap, it's even more exciting when there's people in front of you and you see people trying to sprint into a small hole with no brakes at 30 to 40 miles an hour. So not only is it exciting to watch, but it's an incredibly great race for beginners to learn how to properly be placed, how to protect their wheels, how to ride safely and aggressively. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's one of the most exciting races to watch. As far as the all-around and group races, they actually do have that as far as the world championships. They have an Omnium now, and it's one of the events. So
Terry, you kind of glossed over it, but I'm going to ask this question and now go into a little more detail for myself as a novice rider and for the listeners, the viewers. What's different about the bike that you would ride at the velodrome versus the bike you might ride on the street?
Yeah, track bike. It is a fixed gear bike, no brakes, so no coasting.
Yes.
And yeah, you can't stop pedaling if you want to be moving.
And you still are clipped in, yes?
Yes.
Okay. What else is different here? No brakes. I think you glossed over that piece.
No brakes, yep.
Yeah. Sounds exciting and terrifying to me. So I don't know if I would ever try that myself, but maybe one day.
You have opportunities to give it a try, though.
I do.
We do have Learn the Velo classes, I think, every month.
Okay.
You can sign up and they'll loan you a bike. You just have to bring yourself a helmet, shoes and pedals if you have those things, and they'll teach you how to ride a track bike and how to ride it at the velodrome.
How was it your first time, since you're the one, you're fairly new to it and I've never done it?
I don't know. I thought it would be intimidating and scary, but it wasn't, because they did a very good job of teaching us.
Okay, great.
And they realized that a lot of people have never ridden a fixed gear bike before. So we started there.
Yeah.
I would recommend everyone to give it a try.
So when you ride that bike, and here's where my question is coming from. I remember when I lived in North Carolina, I was a big fan of NASCAR. And I remember reading a book called The Physics of NASCAR. And it spoke to the minimum speeds the car has to go to keep going forward and not fall down the high angles. What would you say is similar speeds for a track bike to be able to keep going with that? I mean, Terry, you mentioned 30 miles an hour. That to me is terrifying on a bicycle.
Okay. Well, the banking on the track is there for safety, first of all, so that you don't have to use brakes and you don't have to speed up and slow down like you do on a closed course, like a criterium or road race.
Mm-hmm. It's also different track to track.
Yeah. I was going to say the Olympic standard when our track was built as a training track for the 84 games was 333 meters. 0.3, so basically three laps is a kilometer. Well, for most Americans, you can't do math to metric system. We're never going to be great at that. So it's effectively five laps to a mile.
Okay.
It's banked at 33 degrees in the corners and about 12 degrees in the straights. The 33-degree banking is not 45 degrees, which is basically half of a wall, right?
Yes, yes.
But it feels like it to a first-timer.
Sure.
When riders are going around that corner to be perpendicular at that 33-degree angle, it's about 25 miles an hour. So anything less than that, you're actually feeling that banking closer on one side. To take it to answer your question, elite riders can ride the track in the springs here at about 12 miles an hour before striking a pedal and falling off.
Wow.
The track that's outdoor plywood in the Boulder Valley in Erie now has fallen off in a race. So she was in a sprint race, a one-on-one race, mm-hmm. and basically her and the other girl were daring each other to ride as slow as possible because neither one of them wanted to take the initiative and lead the sprint out. They both wanted to come from behind. And the other girl fell because she hit her pedal at about probably 15 miles an hour on that track. And
she fell into me.
Into her, and they both hit the bottom of the track at a slow speed. So she was okay, but she can speak to what it's like to fall off of a velodrome.
Yeah, you feel like you're falling forever.
Slowly.
It was the slowest, safest crash ever, but it felt like forever.
Okay. Interesting. Let's see here. What about the folks that you mentioned? We'll switch off the track for a few minutes here. The folks that you mentioned, speak more if you can, Terry, about the races that they won.
Cross-country mountain biking.
Okay.
Basically, it's like a circuit race. So it's typically a few miles loop with a good amount of climbing and technical single track. Similar to how we have here in Palmer Park and Ute Valley and all these other areas. I wish they would hold races at the Pineries because that would be crazy fun to go watch.
Super fun.
That's a super fun place to ride.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, cross-country mountain biking is probably the easiest of the mountain biking disciplines to explain. And of course, here in Colorado and California kind of invented mountain biking. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun to represent a team where we've had past national champions and to support the riders that are competing at our state series here locally and the state championships here coming up.
So for those kind of rides, I'm just trying to bring this back to kind of like regular riders like myself. What type of bicycle are they riding? I mean, is it a regular, is it full suspension? Is it hardtail, 29 or 27 and a half? What, or does it just depend on the rider? I mean, are there categories in that space?
Depends on the rider, but for mountain biking, most of them are going to be on full suspension.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Nowadays with the technology, with lockouts on shocks and dropper posts and that. So, yeah.
Disc brakes, yeah. All of those. Yep. Okay. All right. If someone is new to cycling, at what point would you say they need to be before they jump into COS racing? And at what point, what would that look like? Hey, do I just go to a local bike shop, buy a bike, buy the kit, join the club? What does that look like? What do you recommend? I mean, surely there's some athletic ability in the background that, you know, is probably beneficial.
Yeah. So actually when I started riding bikes here in late 2020, I think, I started riding with the Colorado Springs Cycling Club and the Buffalo Lodge and got my intro to cycling there. I did not have any bike fitness. I was generally in decent shape, but not bike fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked my way up through those groups. Once I felt comfortable enough, I joined Soco Velo. We're a little bit faster than the other two groups, it's called Colorado Springs Cycling Club and the Buffalo Lodge. So yeah. I rode with Soco Velo for, I don't know, like 6 months, 9 months. And then I did the Learn the Velo class and decided I wanted to race. And that's kind of when I joined COS Racing. And there is a noticeable difference in the average speed of riders. So you do want to work your way up. And as a beginner racer joining COS Racing, I knew that the group rides would be faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I just made sure I was prepared. Like I had the route loaded on my cycling computer. I had enough water, snacks, all those things. So if I got dropped, if I got left behind, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
And going into that with that mindset, I had mm-hmm. a great time. I know okay. some others don't have a good time because they're not expecting to get dropped, but it's really expectations going into it.
So with that in mind, what kind of commitment is it to join COS Racing? I see you've got a kit. You might want to shout out your sponsors, right?
Yeah. We can go through the sponsors. But.
Yeah, yeah. But what kind of commitment? I mean, obviously you need a bicycle. What mm-hmm. kind of bicycle do you want? Does it just depend on like what discipline you're heading toward?
Yeah, exactly. It depends. And we actually had Erica Otero started racing this year. And she comes from the running community,
mm-hmm.
and she's familiar with athletic training and all, you know, but she was kind of blown away with the equipment, and now she's hooked.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her there's a local time trial series at Cherry Creek Reservoir that's basically around that reservoir and makes a U-turn and comes back around. So it's right about 10 miles. And the registration for that, you book this whole series, and it's on Wednesday nights in the springtime. And you book a time. So basically, say 5:17. So you know every Wednesday night at 5:17, that's your start time. It's the same exact course every week. Weather changes a lot in the springtime in Colorado.
Sure.
But she was able to bring her gravel bike and then get a better road bike and try it out and make improvements each time. And I think that's one of the things that I would love to see. Years ago, we had a local time trial series back in the early 2000s with the club that I was a part of, the Eastside Wheelmen. We had another 10-mile time trial, but that was on Mark Shuffle, and now that's all built up, so we can't really do that.
Sure.
But having something to where you can come as a beginner and just compete against yourself. I mean, that's where I think the team offers the resources and the knowledge and experience that we have from national champions, world champions, state champions, and world-level coaches here locally,
mm-hmm.
but also to be in something and show, hey, look, I'm doing this. How can I get better at cornering? How can I do this? Well, hey, let's go out and join this team ride and then, you know, meet us afterwards and we'll ride around this parking lot. We'll work on your balance skills. So mm-hmm. having that resource on a team for a beginner is a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of glossed over it, and I'm a little bit familiar with what a time trial is, but can you speak to what that is for maybe folks that don't know?
It's an individual time trial. So if it's a 10-mile race, you start generally 2 minutes apart.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a timing chip just like they do in running events, except for you're out there by yourself. Well, you need to learn how to pace yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use any music. You can't use any other instruction.
No music. Oh, gosh.
You're out there listening to wind and your breathing and your heart rate for however long it is.
Wow.
So an individual time trial is a great test. Every athlete, no matter what discipline they're in, does fitness tests. But an individual time trial is a great way that you can prove to yourself and show improvement, try different equipment out. You know, if it's the same course at the same time of day, the only variables is the weather and you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. And that would be a road ride, or can it be, you mentioned Erica was on a gravel bike. It just depends on the rider and what they have available to them.
Yeah, she started on a gravel bike and basically found out how much faster a road bike is because a road bike's made for the road.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, I mean, a beginner could just ride their, you know, a townie bike if they wanted to and just compete against themselves for time.
Okay.
So yeah.
Okay. Do you guys, when you're learning, do you have a formal learn to race section, right? Because one of the things that I found intimidating when I started riding with, you know, Soco Velo, we would do kind of mini pelotons. Do you guys do big peloton kind of training in that space?
Yeah, if there's enough riders on a group ride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How does that work though? I mean, if I'm the new person, I'm probably fairly intimidated. I'm going to stay in the back, that sort of thing. Are you teaching like, hey, here's how to properly do your cadence and here's what you're looking for and that sorts of stuff?
Yeah, the ride leader will usually give a quick overview at the beginning, but you know, during the ride, various members will, you know, give you tips or, you know, do this, do that.
Provide feedback, yeah.
Definitely don't do that. Yeah. You know. And communication is big, especially when you're riding in a big group like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to suddenly stop. You want to let people know that you're going to stop.
Absolutely.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Are there any other shout-outs you want to make since you've got the...
Yeah, actually, well, this is the 2025 team kit. This is mine. So it's orange. Big surprise.
Yep.
COS Racing changed to this bright orange a few years ago with the mountains. And I designed this kit actually personally. So we wanted to keep with the orange on the top and the mountains, because when we look actually out that window at Pikes Peak, we get to see the beauty of here in Colorado Springs. And we made it a sunrise this year instead of a sunset. So that's why we've got the yellow on the top. On a cycling kit, obviously, the front and back having the team logo is always naming the team. The two most largely visible things are the leg panels. So this one with Fossil Brewing Company, they're a new cash sponsor that we have. Fossil Craft Beer Company, located in Old Colorado City. They've been around for 10 years. Taproom has 18 taps, 6 flagship beers that are always on tap, and 12 rotating selections that highlight seasonal offerings, seltzers, and even kombucha. They don't have a food license, but they always have a food truck, and you're welcome to bring in dogs and food and dog food. So
nice.
We're really happy to be partnering with them, and it's kind of interesting that we've both been around for 10 years and finally making this connection. So
that's awesome.
The other side here is a guy that is a returning racer. He's actually a mountain biker. His company is called Positive Outcomes. A lot harder to explain, so I got my cheat sheet. So Dustin and Jennifer Holcomb are behavioral therapists. So they have mental and behavior health services. They've been around for over 10 years. They specialize in working what's called applied behavior analysis services for children, adolescents with neurological disorders such as autism, ADHD, and Down syndrome.
Wow.
So we're very happy to have people that are doing great things in the community that are involved in giving back to the community.
That's excellent.
And
yeah,
helping them to get more exposure. I can go through a lot more of these sponsors because I know them all personally. Great folks. The kit's made by Pactimo, which is a Colorado-based cycling clothing company, and they actually have riders in the World Tour in Europe. So all of the fabrics are all world-class professional quality. They actually subsidize us as well with cash sponsorship. The other ones, the returning sponsors here, Trails End Tap Room, they used to have a location in Monument. That's actually closed, but their Old Colorado City location on Colorado Boulevard is still open. They have the Trailblazers, which is their Wednesday night running group, trail running group, and
mountain biking,
cross country mountain biking, kind of over in the
I know one night
in
you
the canyon.
Up on
yeah,
the gravel
we've done
bike.
That a few times we've together. So
yeah, yeah.
That's always fun. They don't brew their own beer, so they're not a direct competitor of Fossil, but they have a draft beer on there. And I'm going to be working with Josh at Fossil to try to plant a little seed in his ear to make a COS Racing brew that we can have on tap.
That would be cool.
And enjoy at both locations. The other sleeve is the company that I work for. Jeremy and Aaron Dixon have Dixon Allstate. And so they're on the sleeve here. They've been in business for about 13 years. They are the largest book of business for Allstate in Southern Colorado. They are the third largest Allstate agency in Colorado. We can write property insurance in every county, every zip code. So we actually insure about 60% of the residences in Teller County, whether it's Florissant, Divide, Cripple Creek, of course, Woodland Park. We have returning sponsor Pikes Peak Athletics. They're a swimming facility that have this amazing fitness training facility up off of Garden of the Gods Road. Mint Homes, Leanne Pereira. She's a realtor here in Colorado Springs. She's actually a former COS Racing team president. Stepped down after a couple of years to focus more on her business and to help people find homes here in Colorado Springs.
Very noble cause.
Rector Szczesinski. We got the little crest there. Bo Worthington is actually the cash sponsor person, but he's on the Rector Szczesinski law staff. They're personal injury lawyers. They're not ambulance chasers, but they're here to educate people and help people when things go wrong to make it right. The Buffalo Bicycle Lodge Resort. Tori is actually a cash sponsor of our team also. She's on the back of the kit and on one of the sides.
Yeah,
after a few years of supporting the local rides and actually meeting now at the local ride on a Monday night, she wants to be more involved with the racing community. So the races that she promotes there, usually, well, we've got the Rampart Rager coming up, start and finish from the lodge. So it kind of made sense for her to partner with our team.
Absolutely.
A couple more shout outs. Barbie and Jay at Fitness Systems. Fitness Systems is actually on our jerseys here and then on the rest of everybody's except for mine and hers, Colorado State Champions. They're on the legs. So Fitness Systems is over off North Nevada. They do in-home gym equipment. So everything from treadmills to cycling-specific things like the Wahoo kicker bikes. Mm-hmm. They sell heart rate monitors. Great folks to go into, even if you just wanted like to replace an old Bowflex and you just had a workout space.
Sure.
telling my age, but if you wanted anything there, yeah, go talk to them. And that's about it as far as the sponsor plugs and tour.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's almost time to wrap up. A couple more questions. Can you share a memorable or transformative ride that changed how you view cycling? I'll add that it doesn't necessarily have to be here in Colorado.
Something that you've competed in or just that you participated?
Maybe just a great ride. And it was like, one of the things that I'm always thankful for when I ride my bike is it allows me to meet cool people like yourselves. And it allows me to go to cool places that maybe you can't get to on a car.
No, that's a good question.
That is a good question. I'm running through all the rides that we've done together, including some of the big ones. Like we did Triple Bypass together.
Yes, we did. It was a very wet day.
It was very wet, very cold. But Jersey Mike from the Buffalo Lodge was driving our SAG van, and that was wonderful.
Yes, we couldn't have done that without you, Michael. So thank you very, very much.
That was a pretty memorable one.
Okay. How about you, Terry?
Well, again, I've been involved in cycling since 83, so I've had my fair share.
Yeah.
Growing up in Texas in the 80s and being a part of a junior cycling team of rock stars back then, we had the Tour of Texas. So the Tour of Texas was actually put together about the same time our Olympic Training Center Velodrome came on.
Okay.
They used to do a training camp in the early season in Austin, and they expanded around. So it was kind of like a mini Tour de France.
So
it was about 3 weeks long, and I happened to see one of the races over at a local community college when I was like 12 years old, just riding my bike around, and I was like, oh my God, what is this?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I saw these guys going really fast and competing against each other, and their women cheering them on, and I was like, I want to do all of that. So
that's awesome.
I started racing my bike up and down the streets after watching these guys tear it up. So
that was kind of what got you like planted the seed. This is what I want to do.
And then of course the 84 Olympics, we had 9 medals, from the team that was living and training here in Colorado.
Wow.
And that was a big impact on me just to, as a young child and 14 years old, looking up to cycling as champions, and American champions too.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it did inspire a whole generation of us to either race or be involved in cycling to some extent. So
that's awesome.
Interesting questions.
Okay. 2 last questions. What's one thing you wish you knew when you started racing?
I don't know.
How to go faster? I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah.
How difficult cyclocross is?
Oh God, that was hard.
I do remember watching you at a cyclocross race.
That was hard.
This is a good one to just watch.
I wish I knew this.
Other than that, you don't have to win to have fun.
True.
Yeah. I think that's a big one, especially for me, because I'm a fairly competitive person and I don't like to lose, but I have to remind myself that I can still have fun and not win.
Yeah, yeah. You've heard me say it 100 times, right? You're always faster than the people sitting at home judging you.
Yes.
So there's that piece. So.
Yes.
What about you, Terry?
Patience would probably be the one thing. And yeah, just realizing that on your best day, there's probably 80% of the field is always better than you, or at least it is for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, just realizing that the good moments that you do have on a bike, whether it's, winning races or, they call it no chain day. Have you ever heard that?
I have not heard that
phrase. So, yeah, it's like you're just riding up a hill and you don't feel anything. It's like there's no chain on the bike, but you're just flying. Mm-hmm. So just realizing that those days are few and far between. It does take a lot of dedication and effort to be a successful racer, whether it's gravel, road, mountain, velodrome. But again, being a part of a great team reminds you of that patience, and seeing people take to the sport and really enjoy it.
That
makes you patient enough to suffer through the training as well.
Sure. It's good to have people to suffer with, right?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Suffering together.
Unless I'm chasing you down a hill on gravel, then you're just gone.
Yeah. That is fun. All right. Last question. What's the most surprising lesson learned from being part of COS Racing?
I don't think it's a really big surprise, but everyone that I've interacted with has been super friendly, super helpful. And before joining, that wasn't necessarily the impression I had of the team. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, it's a little surprising, but Okay. Everyone's so nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, I think this community, and thanks to Tori and you for hosting this podcast, giving us the opportunity to get some exposure. There wasn't a lot of community involvement with the team in the past. And that's one of the things that when I came to the board, I stressed so much is we've got a lot of negativity out there. And we did have some riders that, quite frankly, were dicks.
Okay.
So just to put it really bluntly. And we want to change that. We want to make sure that people that want to race have an invitation to come and be a part of a successful group, because positivity is contagious. You know,
absolutely.
You want to be around winners, right? But other than that, giving the people a racing team to cheer for.
Sure.
So, and another question I hope you were going to ask is, are there any plans to host a bicycle race in Colorado Springs? So,
talk to us about that one. I mean, I didn't ask it and I missed
it. Yeah, that's just the way of the culture here and road closures and all this stuff. Colorado Springs used to have downtown Criterium. We had one in old Colorado City. We had raced through Garden of the Gods before. We've had some fantastic events and little kids can come out and watch, right?
Yeah.
And that grows the spectatorship of the sport. If you go to Widener Field, I went here recently to watch a soccer match there. Mm-hmm. It's such a beautiful facility.
Oh, yes,
and
it is.
It's everybody of every age having fun. And that's what a bike race usually is too. It's the entertainment part, but it's family and it's community. And people always want to cheer for the home team.
Sure.
And maybe if we do have enough local competition here, that there will be other established teams, which is great because obviously competition breeds excellence. So want to make sure that we're fostering that environment. What was your question that I got off topic about?
Most surprising lesson learned from being part of the team.
Surprising lesson of being a part of this team. I would say not necessarily surprising or lesson, but I have a lot of gratitude for the opportunity. I've been around cycling, as I've told you, at different levels all over the world, and using my knowledge and experience to give back.
Sure.
So, you know, just providing a sounding board for people to ask questions to.
I'm hearing mentorship.
Yeah. And hopefully, and like I said, you know, growing the team to where we have this cultivation of talent to where we can go to international competitions, whether it's a mountain biking event in, you know, Costa Rica. I have a friend that promotes one there. We've got so many opportunities to travel as a group and represent Colorado Springs and represent all of our sponsors, but also show people that this is what a cycling team really does.
Yep.
And I think this community, with the way the team was not communicating with the community in the past, we were perceived as elitist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a lot of people that would take the time to do a charity ride. You didn't have the people that would take the time to do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the things that I'm very passionate about changing. And I know that we've talked on car rides, on road trips to the track. And that's definitely something that we've got enough people in place to make an impact now.
Thanks.
And make a statement and grow more of those people that want to be a part of our group.
Yeah, cycle racing is not for everybody. I know that you've shared some Instagram videos of cycle crashes with me. And I'm like, nope, not going to do that. But I mean, for me, bike riding is very much a social activity that allows me to meet cool people and go to great places. So it's not for everybody, but for those that want to, I mean, I hope we've got a good overview of what, you know, COS Racing offers today. So with that, I'd like to thank you for joining us for another episode of Pedal the Springs podcast on Studio 809 Podcasts. Pedal the Springs is brought to you by the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort, the only bicycle-themed lodging and must-stay for cyclists coming to Colorado. Please check out the show notes for links for more information on topics covered today, and hit the like and subscribe buttons as they help people find the podcast so we'll get more visibility. Be sure to check out the other great podcasts at studio809podcast.com. Studio 809 is your local voice for the Pikes Peak region, and the Pedal of the Springs podcast is produced by Studio 809 and is recorded at the Next Us Cooperative Environment for Small Businesses in downtown Colorado Springs. I'd like to thank Tori for allowing me to be a guest host, as well as my fellow podcasters today, Terry Lott and Amizawa. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.